Thanks for listening to the Hangtown Review Pod, everybody. Racetech, racetech.com. Tell them you listen to Pulp. Get a discount. Get some suspension work done, motor work done. They do it all at Racetech. They got Racetech service centers all across America. And, man, these guys do great work. So thank you to those guys. Racetech, racetech.com. All right, JT, Weej, Hangtown, let's do this.
A Pulp MX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis.
Say that dedication to your frustration. It's a brilliant summer plan as we give it all.
Welcome, everybody, to the Fly Racing RacerX Podcast Hangtown Review. Doing a little early today, so you guys are all welcome. Thank you for listening. Fly Racing, of course, 25 years of Fly Racing, whether it's the Formula helmet, which is perhaps the pinnacle of their helmet design over the years, whether it's the Evo gear, all the way down to Kinetic Mesh. Check it out, flyracing.com, for more information. The Formula S helmet's got an app that goes with it, and it can alert authorities. It can alert loved ones if you crash. Yes, I'm serious. It could really do that. Flyracing.com to learn more about those guys. And, of course, Chance Hymus, Fly Racing, RJ Hampshire, championship man in Fly Racing. Lots and lots of riders choosing Fly Racing. And we thank those guys for coming on board with this podcast. Renthal, Maxxis, Motorsport.com, of course, all on board as well. Renthal.com, Monster Energy Kawasaki, Factory Honda, Red Bull KTM going 1-2 in Hangtown with Renthal products, whether it's a 7/8 bar, twin wall bar, fat bar, it's all there. Also, too, the limited edition purple bars are back out. They might even be gone by now, but ask your local dealer. The purple ones are back from the folks at Renthal. Thank you to those guys, and appreciate everything that they do for us as well. You know the name, you know the brand over the years. All right, let's talk some Hangtown. First up, he's from Fly Racing, and you saw him on TV this weekend talking Hangtown and more as a pit reporter. It's Jason Thomas. What's up, JT?
Not much. Just arrived.
In studio.
One of the earliest times we've ever done this podcast, but yeah, it's great. Yep. I love coming down and being in studio for this show, and yeah, your Monday night show should be fun.
Also on the line, the play-by-play voice of Hangtown National, working with Stu in the booth, and an odd wardrobe choice this weekend. The voice of American Motocross, the Jason Wygant. What's up, Weej?
Yeah. One of those things where I don't actually see myself as much as everyone else does. I just put the shirt on, and I'm like, yeah, I think it's okay. As Stu even mentioned this weekend for other reasons, he's like, we really need a mirror in here. You're just kind of like selfieing on your phone to see what you look like, but that's pretty up close. So I didn't know the shirt looked like it did until later on I was actually seeing things.
Lots of texts, lots of group text messages flying across about this shirt. Yep. Yeah. So.
Yep. Because JT, as you've learned, it's one of the weirdest things. You have a monitor, but you're looking at the camera. If you're looking at yourself, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah,
so you never really see.
I have no idea. Like, I try to go find a bathroom before I go on air or look at my phone just to make sure I don't look like a complete idiot, which I usually do anyway. But yeah, to your point, it's, I don't know, like Supercross is easy. Go in the bathroom, make sure you look okay, come back out. And there are going to be people that say, well, you're doing it wrong because you look stupid and you looked in the mirror. But yeah, it's a challenge. I can't imagine like if you were on local news or ESPN and they're just like not even thinking about that stuff the way we are. But yeah, here we are.
So yeah, Weej, let me know how you and James, how you guys did on the soccer field afterwards.
It was a collared shirt. It just didn't have a collar.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Hangtown, good race, great race for lots of reasons, lots to get into it when it comes to that. Also, Shane Schaefer took over the track design this year. They changed some things, brought in some sand, And I mean, track prep is a tricky subject because there's a fine line of overwatering but needing some water. And I know that, you know, we've seen that MX Sports has learned a little bit with track prep over the years, as far as the Lakewood track seal thing that happened a few years ago, much to the delight of many riders. But man, I thought they nailed it this week, and I thought Schaefer did a good job with the that dumb off camber, basically all the way from the first turn to the uphill. You could never do much with anything, and now you could. I felt like, so that I thought the designs were good, and the riders liked it. Weech, I thought they did a good job. MX Sports did with the track prep and everything else.
Yeah, I don't know really. I mean, I don't even know how much of it's MX Sports. They probably get too much of the credit and too much of the blame. The individual tracks have a massive hand in how their tracks actually turn out. To your point, they hired Shane Schaefer, who's very reputable. But it is funny how it goes both directions. Like, yes, I do think this type of prep was good. But at the same time, they opened up the track, right? There were fewer one-line sections. It was really odd to have such a one-line section, what, three turns into the race in previous years, that dog leg and then off camber. Mm-hmm. And it was like, if you start eighth place, you're going to be 30 seconds behind by the time you get through that turn. But at the same time, I did hear a ton of riders saying it was fast. It was scary fast. It was so fast. And it's like, if you're going to take the tight turns out and you're not going to rip it mega deep, it's also going to be really fast. So you'll never, ever, ever do one thing without another. That's what makes it so hard. But yeah, I think the ultimate vote was the track prep was so good that a rider not known for hot takes on social media came back out of hibernation to comment that he liked this style of track. None other than the Eli Tomac. Two tweets in what, the last 6 years?
He's got hot takes. He saves them. He just waits.
He saves.
Waits.
Two tweets in probably since 2020, I think.
Yeah.
He's the ultimate lurker.
Yeah.
And out of nowhere, what did he say? Shocker. When you prep the track super deep and you can move around, it leads to great racing.
Yeah.
So there you go.
At least Zacco didn't get shrapneled this time.
Yeah. No, I thought it was great, JT. I thought it got really rough. And yes, I heard it was fast for sure from some guys on my post-race pods. But I thought it was great. It was really rough, that second moto. Holy smokes. But this was a great track and a great prep, and I liked the new design. So I was on board with everything.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I thought Chase Sexton had a interesting comment about mentioning Eli Tomac's ride in 2015, because I thought the track was kind of similar to that. It was kind of hard, a little dusty in spots. But I do think they did a great job. Some of the areas, like the section by the mechanics area, I've never seen traction at Hangtown like that before, ever. The way the corners formed up, there was kind of loose dirt. Not everywhere on the racetrack ended up being that way, but I think it was a step in the right direction.
If we brought Bradshaw there, would he tell him to not put the sign up front?
No.
I feel like he would. I feel like he wouldn't tell him.
Yeah,
like,
he wouldn't. He would be okay with this. And I raced not necessarily that year, but the track didn't change a lot, late 90s.
Yeah.
My first year there was 98. It was like that. Rock hard.
Yeah, yeah. We had a ride day there on Monday in 97 with mm-hmm. Pirelli. You went.
I was not there in 97.
You were not?
No, I was not.
Oh, so Pirelli, Birdwell, they let us ride the track on Monday.
Okay.
And I was so stoked as a mechanic to get to ride a national track until I got out there. And I'm like, this is the biggest piece of shit ever.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, I hate this.
Literally, in the corners, it would be black from the rubber, you know, being laid down in the corners. And then they would the only thing they could do is pour water on top of that. It's not a good deal.
Did you happen to look at the throwback race? Weege, 94? What was that? 93?
93, I think.
93. Yeah, 93? I was going to bring that up.
Okay, yeah.
Wow. 93 Hangtown. It's rock hard, which I think everybody would expect when you go back to watch that. But it's so narrow. The jumps are just – there's no point
to
the jumps.
It's like singles. They're just singles on the flat.
They're just rando rising mounds that you maybe can get air off of. And it's so funny because this is 93. We don't think of that as like archaic.
No.
And then you watch it and you're like, dude, the track's – 5 feet wide in spots, and the jumps are not even jumps.
Yeah, no, exactly. So, hey, good track, good day, good, you know, a real test of fitness, too, because it was a little hot for guys. And
wasn't nearly as hot as it could have been. Friday was
worse?
Brutal. Yeah. Friday, if Saturday had been Friday, I'm not saying anything catastrophic would happen. It would have just been a really hard day. And honestly, Saturday, like, I was never really, and I'm not racing, but I'm standing in the sun. It wasn't that bad. It really wasn't that bad.
So after practice, Phil, Harlan, someone else, I think three people told me about this triple that Jet was doing coming down the hill. And it's nuts and it's mental. One guy said it was mental. You can guess who
it is. Who that was.
Oh, which guy? Yeah.
One guy said that. And they were like, it's not meant to be that way. And he's doing this. And he was doing it on Friday, too, I guess. That was Jet Lawrence jumping down that triple. Now, we all saw it come up short. Could have been ugly crash. The streak's over. Bad crash. Lars at Honda said that they knew that they'd knocked it down a little bit, you know, just through the day of the wear and tear on the jump and the track prep before the moto. And he was like, yeah, I mean, I guess Jet still thought I got this, right? Because, I mean, why wouldn't you? You're Jet Lawrence. You're ultra confident. But that ended the streak, JT. That almost put the dude down, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Like, and there was someone close to the situation. I don't want to call him out, but he referenced McGrath in 95.
Millville, no,
Millville? 96. 96,
yeah.
Millville.
Yeah.
Like, as far,
oh, that's
like,
interesting, yeah.
Because I proposed.
Who said that?
I don't want to
just.
I don't
no, because it's a
out.
Great point.
It is. I know.
So why?
I'll get clarity from him that it's. I'm allowed.
Lars,
and then I'll share it.
Lars, thank you.
Tomorrow night.
All right.
But
Lars said that. Good job, Lars.
But his point was, you think you're invincible,
yeah.
Right? Like you can't lose. Everything's coming so easy. Like, oh, I can jump that. Oh, yep. The track's going away. I can still jump that. Yep. Like, there's a huge braking bump in the takeoff. I can still jump that. Yep. Like, no one's ever jumped this single on a tabletop like McGrath. No problem.
Yeah,
I got this.
Jump was ridiculous.
Right.
No. Yeah.
Right.
No one would have thought that.
And so we were going back and forth, me and this person,
Lars,
and I was like, so I proposed that he was kind of like needed a reality check a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, there are limits.
He got one.
I know. And that, I don't even know if reality check's the right word.
Yeah.
But like sometimes you need to like, oh yeah, I can crash.
Yeah.
Like there are limits to how fast I can go. You know, thankfully this won't be a season ender or a championship ender the way it was for McGrath. You know, it would still have a chance to win the title anyway. But it was the comparison there I thought was really insightful.
I agree, Weege. Yeah, like he got a shock, right? Like he wasn't perfect anymore. And like I said, other guys after practice, guys are like, I can't believe he's doing that. You know? So
yep. I was shocked by the second one or the other one too.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other one to me was sketchier. And this is amazing. The great fortune that the great James Stewart is back. And I literally just get to bench race with him all day long, especially because at this race, they had our TV booth all the way at the top of the hill. So we were nowhere near anything else. You couldn't go to the pits, couldn't go back to the TV compound. It was just me and Stu locked down for like four straight hours before the motos even began. So there's very few people. He might be the only other one that was in that crazy balls, invincible realm at a time. And I asked him a million questions about that. I'm like, hey, do you get to the point where you start doing spectacular stuff because you either feel you just can or you just need things to do? And he's like, oh, you definitely feel invincible, which is the point you just made, JT. Like, you forget that anything could go wrong. JT, you're on the calls this week where people are asking about the pressure of the streak, and James is like, eventually you don't even feel that. You just assume it's always going to go right. You don't even think about the streak. It's like, I'm so used to winning, like I'm not even thinking about something going wrong. But also, yeah, he did say that you do start trying to create rando challenges for yourself. I mean, it is weird. There was a parade lap. You would think he would have saw. I mean, he didn't even come close.
Yeah.
You would have thought he would have saw, but I don't know what's in his head. Stu is even wondering. He's like, maybe that wasn't even it. Maybe he just messed up. Like, maybe he didn't even intend to jump it.
No, I think he tried to jump it. Like, the angle from the behind him, like, he's definitely trying to jump it. Like,
it was just so off that we were just trying to figure.
There's like that braking bump. Yeah, I think there's a braking bump in it now, which adds another dynamic to it. And I think he was trying to use that braking bump to get more pop. And instead of getting the pop he wanted, it kind of threw him forward. And then he was way short. Clearly he got it all wrong. The other thing I wanted to mention on that is the first qualifying session for the 250A, Deegan did it on the second lap.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when he threw that 158 down. That was doing that.
Yeah.
And he was fast everywhere, but that gave him that little bit of edge too. So Deegan did it as well in the first practice.
I brought this up before with Stu, I think publicly, like Freestone during the streak year, he just tried to put two singles together.
Yeah, I remember that. 20 right minutes finish line. Right?
Yeah, 20 yeah. minutes yeah. in. Just yep. I'm gonna just jump these two singles, mm-hmm. case
not
the
even
shit
close.
Out of it. Yeah,
not even close.
And you're like, what are you doing? But yeah, there you go.
I think
you know?
That's it.
Right.
We did actually. I can't remember if we showed it. We had a side by side of Sexton and Jett in that section. I think in the first practice. Yep. I can't even remember if we ended up showing it on Race Day Live qualifying or not. And it was crazy how easy it looked for Jett at that point mm-hmm. in the day. But the takeoff, it looked to me like if it wasn't twice as good, it was at least half. It was at least 50% better yeah. of a takeoff
everyone,
in the morning.
Everyone was braking there instead of accelerating, yeah. right? So that added
yeah,
that
right.
extra
I mean,
ripple.
He had to go wide after, but still.
Well, no, but like yeah. the wrinkle that yeah. in practice, there weren't any braking bumps yet, so he could accelerate through it, get lift, do everything he wanted. Mm-hmm. Then in the first moto, from everyone braking to not triple, he's got to deal with yeah. his braking bumps now. And I think he, if he does it again, he probably is like, okay, I need to adjust for that and can still do it. He'll find a way to do it. But, yeah. man, it's well, you look back. I think if he looks back, and I'm sure they're going to, you know, Dazzy's very much this guy. They're going to say, okay, let's analyze what happened here. You got the hole shot. You had the fastest lap times in practice. You're 24-0. Why are you taking this much risk on the first lap? Right, like that. That to me, I think yeah. is probably the analytical question to be asked.
Which is Darren was telling me about that at the farm about Dallas. You had a big lead, you got a little sideways, and you still decided to do that rhythm that knocked you out. We got to learn from that. Mm-hmm. And again, you're invincible. He's 20 years old, and he's won yeah. 24 straight motos.
Yep.
But he got a chunk out of his leg from foot peg and. Second moto, he got into second, and I'll be honest, I'm like, okay, well, he's gonna go one.
Me too.
And he didn't. And talking to Lars afterwards, Lars said that the day just caught up to him. Just leg was a little numb, beat up, tired. Just and Jett went backwards in moto two, which was odd to see. But I think the whole day caught up to him.
We had a pre. Was it you or Katie that did the interview with Jett after the second moto, JT? I can't even remember.
I did it. Yep, I did it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you can explain then, JT. Jett explained his arms were shot.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
He was basically just using his entire upper body to go fast,
yeah.
right? Because his legs were shot. And then once that wore out, he's like, okay, I've got to try to use my legs. And that was a no-go.
Yeah.
So then he was just done.
Yeah.
Like, he was over.
He pointed to his shoulder at one point. I thought, shoulder issue. But, you know,
I think
yeah,
that he was smoked. I give up.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I didn't know what that was either. But now it makes sense as like... Yeah. Because I think they probably they're so good at making a plan and executing it, and I'll give Darren a lot of credit in that. I think that was the plan the whole time. It's like, hey, use what you can use, right? And then I think that was his signal. It's like, yeah, that plan is now done. Like, we did it, great. I got to second. I could go faster, but now, yeah, you're not meant to ride with only your upper body.
24 points down. It's great now. I mean, in a sense, it's
pretty
wild. Series.
Yeah,
life comes at you fast, right?
yeah.
So,
but he gets lucky. The only reason we can really bench race about this, and we'll get into, I'm sure, the epic Sexton other end of the story, is that luckily we're not talking about someone being seriously hurt. You know,
yeah.
I mean, we all remember Anaheim when Roczen went down, and it just like,
yeah.
I mean, it was like a funeral that day. At the press conference, everybody was bummed, even his competitors. Luckily, we don't have that, so we can bench race about the championship and what this means. But, dude... That could have been way worse.
I mean, we were talking about our fantasy pod on Bet Online because now you can – and they have odds for Jett to win the title and then anyone else. And I was saying on the show, like, I would throw money down. Injury, you twist an ankle, you try to do a triple down a hill, shit, you know? Like, our sport is crazy. Like, we just I tweeted this a couple weeks ago. Like, is there another sport – and I don't follow every sport on the planet, but is there another sport where just – injuries are out, man. You're just out. Like, I guess NFL is pretty brutal. NFL chews them up and spits them out, but...
But it's still a team sport.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
The team is... If you lose your starting quarterback, the chances of winning are significantly less, but your season isn't done.
Yeah.
Like, if Lawrence's season is done, it's done.
It's just our sport is just again and again and again. Like, oh, you look at what Hayden did, and we'll get into that. Like, just cruising, great. That thing, that could have broke a collarbone and arm.
Oh,
so easy.
That's a huge
crash. You know? It's just our sport is so gnarly. So Jett, the streak is over. He's going to try to start another one, I guess. That's all you can do. And
how about trying to finish the first moto and getting to 24th?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Really, really needed that 21. point, that 21st point, that, you know,
it was going to pay off.
It was going to pay off. And props to, I didn't talk to Dazzy or any of the Lawrences afterwards, but props to Lars. He didn't talk about, they changed that jump, they knocked it down, they, you know, they didn't, he didn't do any of that, you know, like some people would.
You get a parade lap.
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I'm just saying, like, you know, in today's world, like, you know, I don't know why they knocked that down. They should have, you know,
like after.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, you know, like Lars was.
That's a good point.
Yeah. You know, just that's the shit that you hear sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Chase Sexton. Man. First of all, Weege, I didn't watch the race back yet. I watched it. I was in the announcer's tower all day, so I was watching it on TV up there. But I didn't, like, watch it back yet again for my column and stuff. And you forgot about Herling's last to first, and now all these guys in Europe are just going to just hammer the Americans. So thanks for letting the country down. Thank you for that.
Yeah, it's true. And it is funny that, I mean, we have an entire staff. No one else remembered it either. And the greatest point ever is on the Weed Show, I'm interviewing none other than Roger DeCosta and Ian Harrison. And they also said, both of them,
no idea.
Don't remember anyone ever doing this. And Herlings rode for their team that day.
So just calm down, Europe. Okay, calm down. We each forgot. Yeah. Honestly, I didn't think Herlings came from last either. I just thought from way back. I don't remember particularly last. So,
but had I remembered in the moment, and here's the thing. We have tons of stats and research, but that's such an obscure fact. It's not something you can really look up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because even there could be one guy who fell. You could be 39th because a guy fell in the first turn and then pushed his bike off.
Totally.
Last is 40th. Like, there's lots of things going on. So,
but that's not the point. The point is, I could have been like, the only thing I can think of that's similar is Herlings. You know what I mean? That would have been factually accurate.
Right.
I just, in the moment, you're doing a live TV show. You have no time to look anything up, ask any questions.
I get it.
It is funny that it's, I mean, we have a massive staff. It wasn't just me that didn't remember that, including guys that he rode for that day didn't remember. But yeah, this is not, can they still listen to the podcast from that Ironman race? Is that still doable?
I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Listen to us 45 minutes of praise about all-time ride and how amazing Herling is, and he kicked everybody's ass, and it wasn't even a bike or things that he was used to, and he destroyed it. We could not possibly have praised that ride more. We are not trying to give Herling credit.
I don't want to get in front of this onslaught.
I'm just mad at myself for forgetting that.
The cat typing on the computer, just all the balls going on. But
there's a video out there with hundreds of thousands of views that both quotes us in the podcast giving Herling's massive credit, and then later shows photos of us as guys that don't give it credit.
I didn't know this existed.
I'm like, 4 minutes ago, you just had our voices. It had you saying, all these guys talk about setup. He's never even ridden on his frame before.
Yeah.
What's your excuse now? Right. He just went 1-1. And then 4 minutes later, a picture of us saying, the American media doesn't talk about it, doesn't bring it up.
I didn't know this. Yeah. I didn't know this existed. That's great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Americans don't want to talk about this day or whatever.
All right. Well, listen, let's...
I can only guess who wrote that part.
I talked to Levi. I think Levi said it publicly on my post-race podcast. He says he tells Chase all the time, stop worrying about bike setup. Stop it. Like, and Peter Park's been working with Chase. Stop worrying about bike setup. Like, you know, I think he said it publicly. Oh, anyways, if not.
he did now.
But this is Levi's, Sexton's friend, Sexton's trainer. And I put this on Twitter, like, yeah, man, that track was brutal and it was rough. And, you know, he got sideways a few times. He got out of control a few times.
Yep.
He had some big moments.
He was loose.
Loose.
Yeah, he was.
But, like, I think that this ride could really help KTM and Chase, their relationship.
So,
you know, because, like, hey, man, you were sending it, and this track was rough AF.
Yeah.
And you did it.
So I have a question which stems from your point here, and it from Chase and his confidence – and also a little bit of AP in the second moto, and then Jet crashing and losing and getting lapped in the first moto, and then straight up beating the second one with an injury. In Rocky IV,
yep.
Okay?
Oh.
Rocky. Wow. Rocky.
Lewis will know this one, too.
Rocky, he would.
Yeah.
Rocky and Drago going head to head, right? Mm-hmm. This is after Drago kills his best friend, mm-hmm. Apollo Creed. They're fighting, and Drago's just doing the same thing, just beating the shit out of Rocky, right? Like the guy in the corner yells whatever yells in Russian. Yep.
And just like go time.
Just start hammering his face, right? And Rocky's face looks like it's hamburger meat. And then all of a sudden, Rocky catches him with a left, right? Just like out of nowhere, cuts him. And literally, like, the ring announcer's going, he's cut! And he's bleeding, and it's the first time that we see Drago vulnerable.
He was even confused about himself
bleeding.
Right,
he's like, oh, my God. Yeah. Like, what just happened? Right? And they go in the corner. Bell, go to the corner. And corner man, I don't know if it was Paulie. Somebody was screaming.
Duke.
Okay.
It was Duke.
Screaming at Rocky. He's not a machine. He's just a man. Right? He's not unbeatable. Is there any correlation here? Because I really feel like all these guys were getting put into this scenario. Like, I don't think we can beat this dude. Like, I just do not think we can beat this guy. And for Chase, it's been a year and a half of, like, I can't freaking beat this guy. What do I have to do? That ride from Chase was such a breakout type of ride where he's like, you know what? I'm freaking good, too. Like, I'm really good. Like, before Jet got on a 450, everybody was talking about me as going to be the unbeatable guy.
Look at that text I got from Pookie yesterday.
No way.
Yes.
No way.
Yes.
That is awesome. That is incredible.
Pookie asked me what happened. I said, Jet crashed hard while leading. He's 35th. I said, the streak is over. Pookie goes, oh, snap. He's not a machine. He's a man.
That is that is insane. That is incredible.
Well, you're telling this story. I was like, wait.
Yeah, that is awesome. Pookie and I's affair is now under investigation.
Absolutely. I think so, right? I
think Jet is Jet's still the guy. We know that.
Yeah.
But like this was a big moment. I think if they're not all looking around going,
yeah,
this guy's not unbeatable. Like he's not some sort of force of nature that we can't ever beat, right?
And no, it was
so it'll be very interesting to me how Chase and whoever else wants to be in this title fight responds next week and moving forward in the short term.
I think, I don't know. I said this could be, and I think it is. I think this is a turning point. Now, I could look like an idiot. Jet could wheel off.
I'm not saying it is.
I think this is a turning point.
I'm just saying
I really do.
It could be.
I think you get beat down for a year and a half. Because remember, Chase didn't win. Did he win Paula against Tomac?
No. Tomac went 1-1.
Tomac won 1. Yeah, so like, Chase beat him in Washougal when they both fell, right? I think. Anyway, Chase hadn't won for a while. That's my point.
Yeah.
And now he got one. And the bike, under those conditions, looked great. Weege, I think this is a turning point. I hope no one records this and plays it back after Jet just reels off the next 10 in a row. But I think this could be a turning point.
Well, this is the opportunity for that. We haven't seen even a crack in the armor.
Yeah.
We have not even seen a chance for this to happen. Qualifying, motos, like we're just like, nope, same thing, nope, same thing, nope, same thing. Now, for the first time, I'm like, maybe. Because before now, it hasn't even been a maybe.
Ah, Weege, I think this is a turning point. I really do.
Well, what's great about it is we don't have enough data to know if it is or isn't, right?
Right.
The only thing we have right now is also Sexton rode really good at round one. He did get beat, but there was like, you could, if you looked at it closely with one eye, and maybe like tilted the page a little bit, you could make an argument. And then, oh, he was close to him at round one last year, and then he only got hurt, so we don't really know. There was like, it wasn't 100% totally stamped coming out of round one, and now we've only had another race. Sexton looks really good now. We don't know what Jets, he's not super hurt, but he might not be 100% next week. There's just enough to not know. I don't want to go this far to say turning point, because I will say, for every idiot on Twitter that said I purposely mentioned Hurlings, there was one guy who had a brilliant take, and we prefer the awesome story and the awesome drama, but one guy said, wait, if Jet doesn't crash, we'd just be like, Sexton was fast, but he made a mistake and was dumb enough to crash in the second turn of Moto 2, and nothing would have changed. And I'm like, yeah, you know, that's not wrong.
No, but I also...
we would have been like, Sexton went 30... when 40th to second.
Yeah, for sure he would.
But if he keeps crashing like this, he can't beat Jet. So it's so hard to say. It's so hard to
say. Okay, I will throw this in there too. I think there was a lot at play mentally for Chase. He knew Jet was hurt. Everyone knew Jet was hurt, right? So that changes your your outlook on him, even if subconsciously. You just don't view Jet the same way on that Saturday because you know he's wounded.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the way Chase passed Jet in that second moto. Like, reckless abandon. Dude, get out of my way before I knock you off the freaking racetrack. And think about all the ways that Chase has not been able to even put a wheel on him. Like, there was zero hesitation. You know, the question is, was it just because he knew Jet was hurt and couldn't fight back? Or will he be able to leapfrog off of that, like catapult from that momentum? Because that was a huge, huge diversion from everything we've seen Chase around Jet before.
I just think
I just think
all the – my bike's not good. We're reaching. We're searching. I heard he had another bit of a freak out might be too strong of a word, but he had another little sort of issue before Paula about the outdoor setup. And, like, hey, man, like, you know, you did it. Like, you just came from last to first on a brutal ass track. The KTM can work. You can go this fast. You can send it. You can be loose. You can do all those things that he wants to do, and the bike's going to be able to handle it. And now you know. And this will help. Maybe I'm wrong.
No. He has a ton of confidence. Like, there's no doubt this day left an impact. But I'm just saying, you don't know for sure, and that's what makes it so cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, you don't know what direction this is going now. You could make the argument either way. And KTM, this is so random. Chase is like, he said in one of our interviews that he made a big step on Thursday. So I asked him more about that. And he's like, yeah, we went out to this track in the hills and really worked on up and down hills. The track was super deep and super rutted and super gnarly, more like a national. And I'm like, only now on Thursday? Like, why these teams go to these Southern California tracks, which are almost nothing like the national shape up, probably not even the way, you know, they go to Pala, which is not probably that close to the way Pala is for the national, and isn't even close to what about
any other
11 races are.
Yeah.
Steve, isn't one of your favorites the annual getting to High Point and then just completely being ruined in practice?
Oh, God. I just went to Glen Helen and Cahia for 2 months, and now my bike doesn't work at High Point. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, you decided to go somewhere that has steep hills, super deep, and huge ruts, and we found something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Congratulations. So maybe that's something too. Like, maybe they did make some breakthrough.
Wow.
Which,
what a ride. That was cool. That was awesome. I did not think he was going to get AP. I don't think Cooper.
Anybody did.
I'm like, he's got Justin Cooper. He's going to get second. Amazing ride. I actually walked.
Yes.
I walked to the press tent to start getting ready to watch the end of the race.
Yeah.
And by the time I got to the press tent, he got AP.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell?
I don't know. I should have already done this, but AP must have completely fallen apart lap time wise the last two laps because he had a pretty good lead. And the status quo wasn't changing. I know James was talking about on the broadcast about, yep, AP's kind of figured it out. Chase has backed it down a little bit. This is how they're going to bring it in. AP must have really kind of cratered the last lap or two.
On lap 10, he did a 203. Then he did a 204 and then 2205. So he's 2 seconds off from lap 10 to lap, from lap 13 to lap 15.
That's the thing, right? Yeah. You give up 4 or 5 seconds that you needed to hold on to.
I thought AP was pissed after the race. He threw his goggles up and just kept riding. And I talked to a KTM guy who may or may not do some re-raceables podcast with us.
Okay.
And he said AP was happy for Sexton and happy for himself. And he said he was just shot. That was it.
Yeah.
That's all he had. Like, he left it all out there and he got beat, but at least he knew he left it all out there.
I think he was a little disappointed.
So, yeah.
I do.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, he was still celebrating. Like, he has to look at it as a good day. He's going in the right direction.
Yeah. No, for sure.
If you don't have anything left, you don't have anything left. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He went from the overall win at one point to second to third. Yeah. Hunter went from fourth overall to second. Like, it was a lot going on at the end of the race. Yeah.
Yeah. He even told me he was cramping up. His calves were cramping up.
Yeah. Did he tell you? No. So I had the privilege of watching them watch the replay of the last lap together off camera
for the first time,
right? And they go into the corner by the mechanics where Chase went by. He's like, my leg is fully cramped right there. I can't even move it. And Chase is like, really? He's like, yeah, man. Like, you're probably getting me anyway, but I literally could not move my leg.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why he's going so slow right there.
Yeah. But I still want to give AP credit because, Steve, you mentioned those lap times. You need to look at everybody else's last lap time. Plessinger found enough to even do a 206. I think everybody else was 212, 214, 215.
Chiz is right next to him at a 215.
Cheers.
Cheers.
No, I think Hunter and Justin Cooper, who were the next guys, did like 212s. They were like 6 seconds even slower than Plessinger. It was just – it really just highlighted Sexton's unbelievable ride. Every single dude was just gassed and tired and done, and he came from last. And he like rode through the finish line. It looked like he hadn't even ridden.
Anderson
he
did
looked
a,
fine.
Anderson did a 217.
That's what I'm saying. And Sexton, what did Sexton do? A 202?
205 at the end, right?
205? No, I think it was 202.
The last lap? Oh, I thought you said Plessinger. Yeah, I'm sorry. Sexton. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, Sexton, 202.
Yeah. Yeah. Sexton went 15 seconds faster than Anderson on the last lap.
Yeah.
And he didn't even look tired.
Yeah. I was talking to, again, this situation, right? It's really cool for me to be able to just, we're just kind of wrapping, waiting, right? Where this is a staging area, waiting on them to come back to us on camera. And I was like, man, when you were doing those 2 minute flats, like 6 or 7 laps to go, like you were sending, he's like, yeah, I was on the edge. Like I was just going for it.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, I mean, you could see it.
One of those drop offs, he just did a 2-wheel skid.
Yep.
Coming down the first downhill, I saw both his side plates. sending it. Yep. But again, like didn't crash and the bike held up and like, you know, didn't push a front, didn't lose a front, didn't do any of that. So really, like, Chase Sexton could take a lot out of this race. Aaron Plessinger could take a lot out of this race. I think Justin Cooper could take a lot
Hunter
out of this
too.
Race. Yeah.
Hunter's getting better and better, right? He led a lot on Saturday.
I think he was pissed for the second moto, which I tweeted. I was working Racer X Twitter account, and I'm like, Hunter is set up for the overall right now. Like, because he was in second, and Chase was laying on the ground.
Yeah.
And then Hunter started going backwards a little bit. And I was like, oh.
I think two things. And I try to be so careful with inferring things to these guys that may be wrong, for one, and two, offensive. But to me, it just feels like late in the moto, Hunter's either fighting the stiffness of the setup or it's wearing him out. Right.
Yeah.
And the last thing I want to do is say, hey, man, you look really tired at the end.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
Right. Because I'm probably wrong.
You can say tight.
And I don't know why.
You can say tight.
Yeah. And I don't know why. Right. But that's what it looks like is like you have the speed, you have the pace, but you're just to go that pace. Either maybe the bike is a little not perfect and you're fighting the bike the whole time. You just don't have it at the end. But I think in his heart of hearts, he's frustrated with himself for not being able to hold that pace to the end because he could be winning.
Well, what Lars said, and again, Lars actually said, I'm waiting to get in trouble for some of my comments.
Yeah.
Like J-Bone.
Right.
But Lars said that Jet stayed back to test. Hunter went home. Mm-hmm. They gave Hunter Jet's setup that he came up with because figuring Hunter would like it. And then Hunter was like, it didn't do what I wanted to do. It wasn't perfect because it was for Jet and what Jet liked. So Lars was like, we missed the mark a little bit for Hunter giving him Jet's improved setup. Hunter said it beat him up.
Yeah.
Near the end of the race.
Their bikes didn't look... Well, I shouldn't say that. Their bikes look stiff.
Yeah.
They look stiff to me.
By the way...
They look bad. That's not the right... I shouldn't have even opened with that.
Yeah.
They just look stiff to me.
Speaking of tired, though, JT, our Re-Raceables podcast, all the great riders were reading back comments. They just say they got tired. In the Cycle News quotes.
Yeah.
Like, Jeff Stanton's like, I got tired.
Right.
Stanton.
Yeah.
When did that switch? When did no one get tired?
I don't know. I'm terrified of inferring that on the podium.
I know.
I don't want to do that.
But like back in the day, it was fine.
I remember times where I really got tired.
Did Ricky say tired ever?
I don't think he got tired. I don't think he got tired. I don't think he knows what that. But I remember
did
there were
Jeremy
times.
Ever say I got tired? I feel like Jeremy did.
I remember times.
He did.
Southwick 01.
Yeah.
And I was slacking off. I hated my bike so much and the team that
of
I just
course,
was like.
Everybody got
quit.
Tired.
Yeah. I was smoked though. I was like. You're out of shape. Like, and that was a new thing for me. I was not used to being out of shape.
So we think it started with Ricky, where you just never, ever admitted you're tired. Somewhere along the line.
I mean, he never was tired, so.
Maybe that's it, right? Okay. So, that's a funny thing to hear. The greats of the past give reporters quotes about being tired.
I mean, when you're going a certain speed and then you can't go that speed anymore, that's what that is.
Right. So Hunter, second overall, like I said, fourth to second with Sexton's pass. On AP third overall, great day for Red Bull KTM for sure. Justin Cooper steady fourth, closer to Hunter than Paula. Remember we talked last week, Paula.
He was way better. Yeah.
Yeah. So Justin Cooper, good deal for him as well.
Mm-hmm. I think that's about where he should be most of the time. Like I think he'll be in the podium fight.
Yeah.
Top five more times than not. most of the time.
Yeah, this was a more indicator of what I thought we'd see than last week.
Yeah, I don't think he rides Fox Raceway very well, nor has he really ever.
Right. Jason Anderson, fast in qualifying. Hard pack.
Yeah, he's fast in the race, too. Moto, even
he's fast in the race, too.
Yep. Yeah, he was good. Dylan Ferrandis. I didn't notice Dylan a whole lot. Dylan fell in one moto, I think.
Second moto, he was back there 10th.
Yeah, he was.
Something like that.
No, but that's from a bad start.
I don't know.
But then I think he tipped over in one moto.
Honestly, again, this is going to sound, it's not the right word I want to use, but honestly, he was kind of like irrelevant all day. Invisible, maybe. Irrelevant's a horrible word. But
don't use that word.
He was invisible.
Yeah, invisible.
Right? Like, he just wasn't, he didn't get a good start. He didn't blow us away with lap times. Yeah. Like, it just, yeah. I don't know. I don't
6'8 on the day.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I keep going back to this. He's a privateer. He's a privateer. And so that's good. 6'8 is good for a privateer.
I don't think he sees it as good.
Well.
This was a champion 3 years ago.
Barsha's told us on the show on Monday that he's not able to ride during the week. He hurt his knee. And I said, he hasn't got it checked out because he doesn't want to know what it is. So he hasn't been able to ride during the week for some reason. So 8-7 for him on the day.
He seems happy, though. I talked to him before the day, not after. Mm-hmm. But even with the injury, I think he's just in so much better a place with the bike that even the injury thing isn't even bothering him that much, I guess, mentally. Because the results are, he was getting 18th at Supercross races when he was not hurt.
Yeah. No, I talked to him in the parking lot leaving. I almost missed my flight because I was talking to him for too long. He seemed happy, right? So, Malcolm came from way back in Moto 2. I don't know what. I guess he did. He get a bad start or did he fall?
I know what happened to Mookie.
Okay.
Can we start talking about Phil now? Can we get into it now?
Oh, so, yeah.
Phil cut him off, I believe, off the start.
Oh.
And then Phil comes limping onto the plane, flying red eye with a potentially injured leg, which is just great. And Phil's super mad, super depressed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, what is that thing going to feel like when we land? And he's like, oh, it's going to be so bad. And then all of a sudden I hear from three rows back, good, good, good.
Oh, no.
And it was Malcolm. And he's like, oh, because I cut you off. And he's like, yeah, that's what you get. That's what you get.
Good. I hope your leg falls off.
Oh, screaming awesome. Good. And then everybody starts making fun of Phil. And I just hear Big James just cackling super loud. Everyone's loving it, just at Phil's expense. So apparently Mookie must have got cut off real bad.
Yeah.
I didn't even know he had that bad a start, but that's what he was blaming on. And then Phil ended the conversation saying, I wish I had crawled into the oncoming traffic of the other riders.
Poor Phil. I mean, look, I thought he had broke something, ankle or leg.
And you can't move like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty.
And then I go back to the truck and he's limping.
Yeah.
But he's fine.
Maybe he's not very tough.
Yeah, that could be. That could be.
No, I'm kidding.
His starts were money, though. How good were his starts?
I mean, when
Phil thinks he still might be hurt, though.
Really? Yeah.
Phil thinks he still might be hurt. He's not. He's pretty sure he's going to get some bad news, I think.
Oh, okay.
Is it
he said there was no knee, but he said there's no swelling. So I'm like, well, that means that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, there's no swelling, maybe. But he said meniscus or something. Yeah. The quote he gave me was, "I shot myself in the dick, and here I am." I think, should we look for that in the PR?
I want to see what Bonacci does with that.
Yeah.
Oh God. I shot that short video of him walking down the hallway in the airport.
Yeah.
And then he turned and went in the men's room. And I was like, I'm not going to shoot a video of him going into the bathroom. But after I turned it off, he turned back and said, I'm only going in here to drown myself in the toilet.
Reproductive injury sidelines.
Yeah.
Club MX superstar.
Shot myself in the dick and here I am. And I said, well, hey, man, are you going to get back to some people? And he's like, I'll get back to them within reason. Because I was getting texts from Troll and other mutual friends of Phil.
Is he all right?
Yeah. I mean, like, when you never move like you're like, hey.
I thought for sure he broke
ankle,
leg, foot. Ankle, something.
Right. But good.
Mookie is joking, by the way, everybody. I don't want anyone to come out of this thinking that Mookie's, like,
I think that's
the most.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's just, this is just what these guys do. This is, if you're around them enough, you know that this is, they just ball bust, even when dudes are hurt.
Yep. Fast Freddy Norn, that's two top tens for Fast Freddy Norn.
Treading well.
Weed, you getting mad or no?
This is what Freddie does. I mean, I even looked up the points from last year, and he got eighth, and that's why he was going to be mentioned in the show before I was rudely interrupted.
No, he wasn't going to be. I had to bring him up. But Freddie's been good. Yeah, good job, Freddie. He, he's on it, you know?
Yeah.
So he's right in the mix with these guys.
One of the bummers of Phil getting hurt is I think we were in for just moto after moto of Freddie and Phil finding each other.
Yeah.
Would you say that Freddie Norin is similar to Mike Alessi in the fact that he's much better outdoors than in Supercross?
I don't know, because Freddie made a lot of mains the last few years.
You don't think he's a lot better at outdoors than he is Supercross?
What's a lot?
A lot.
What's?
I don't know.
Give me
the Pacific Ocean.
10th versus 20th? How about that?
Like, he's a lot better. A lot.
He's better.
Oh, my gosh. You are out of your mind. He's a lot.
When is Freddie a top 10 Supercross guy?
He's not, but he's a main event guy. Okay. So that's only 10 spots worse. He's so
ninth.
That's
versus,
double.
Ninth versus 17th.
Okay.
That's a lot better.
All right. Good job, Freddie. All the way, by the way, too, John Short has not qualified on Freddie's team. He's not qualified for the first two races.
No.
John Short's, like, good, and he can't make 40.
I don't know,
40,
man.
I talked to him in the morning, and he was like, I haven't raced outdoors for 3 years. I'm getting used to it. I'm like, yeah, but you're John Short.
Yeah,
like,
this happened to me, and I stopped racing.
Yeah, exactly. Christian Craig was much better. I won some money on some bets I had. Christian Craig versus Harry Kulis. So I want to thank...
I backed you fully on that.
You did?
Oh, 100%.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, what?
I'm not saying
really?
You didn't.
So,
yeah, Christian Craig did much better. He said his elbow is still not there, and he has to compensate for it. He can't send it because it will hurt him. So he's just waiting and waiting, and he says it's going to get better. But at least...
Well, the person you were arguing with kept saying he has one arm.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know, man. I saw him blowing past guys at Fox Raceway with one arm.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know what to tell you.
He passed Kulis twice because he fell in Moto2. So good job for Christian Craig. Grant Harlan. Hardog got some good starts, rode well, screwed me in fantasy because I had him last week.
I had him this week.
Yep. So, good job, Grant Harlan.
Yep.
Derek Kelly, good work for Derek Kelly as well.
So I'm looking on this here, and it says Derek Kelly, Boise, Idaho.
Yeah.
What's going on with
that? I don't
know, man. You think I would know, right? I'm asking people that.
Is he at ORW or what's the track called?
OMC.
OMC? Has he been motoring down at OMC?
This is all news to me. I don't know. This could be Doris. Maybe making a mistake, but I need to get to the bottom of this.
Weege? Anything on Derek
Kelly? I have
Kelly's?
No idea.
Okay.
I mean, never change. Hashtag change AMA.
Harry, by the way, the site was down for – the AMA results page was down for 3 hours. Harry Kulis, 13th, on a Bora bike. He was racing in Brazil. So he's going to do this one in High Point. So keep your eyes on that. Derek Kelly – Justin Hill is back out there again. Marshall Welton, apparently going up the hill, the second uphill, the double at the top. Phil said he was right behind him, of course. And Marsh got head shake, went down, and his body cleared the double.
Oh, wow.
And Phil
like
said
the,
it was...
the step up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Phil said it was spectacular.
That's a long way.
Yeah. And Marsh was getting treatment. I went to go find him, but he was getting treatment for it. So he was beat up anyways.
Jeez.
And then our guy, Phil, 17th overall, A-Rod, Cullen Park.
Park wasn't as good this week.
No. Chiz was up there. Chiz qualified like 13th, which for him may as well be like a pole position.
Right.
So I thought he'd be better. He was up there. He went down at one point. So
there was a dirt digger that asked me about Chiz for fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
And... I was not in fantasy mode at the time, to be fair, but I was like, I wouldn't pick Chiz here.
Right.
Like, this is not
Chiz
Florida
needs,
Chiz territory.
Chiz needs sandy dirt. But he was better than Paula.
Yeah.
He was god-awful at Paula. So he was better this one. Brad West, I almost picked Brad West. He qualified really well, and he had problems. But,
well, he went DNF last week, so I'm like, I can't trust that.
Right. Weege, did you see Matty Jorgensen take out Tyler from Bar-X?
I only saw the video. Yeah. I did hear about it. I think it was the first practice session of the day. It was red flag. And I'm trying to figure out what rider is down. And then I hear it was a crew member. And I thought that meant a track crew member. And then it was actually Kerry Joe told me, Coombs Russell, that said, no, it was actually from the Bar-X team. And I'm like, wow, that's crazy. And then then I go up to the booth and Stu's like, yeah, it was right in front of us, right in front of where our booth is. And then when I saw the clip, it's insane.
Well, so someone talked to Maddie and he said he hit it just like he did in practice.
What?
I don't know. Like inferring that the jump was changed or something was changed.
Maybe he rode on press 8 day?
8 feet, 10 feet off of the track?
I don't know. But
maybe press day he rode.
Tyler's got two broken legs and a torn ACL.
It's the second – I saw two videos. The second one I saw was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, for one, where the hell are you going, Jorgensen?
Yeah.
And then the second was just mortifying because he just gets drilled.
Yeah. No, not good.
I think Daniel Blair actually posted it.
Did he?
Yeah.
All right. 450s. Hangtown. Anything else?
Where do we think this goes for Jet?
I think he still wins most of the motos from here on out, but he's in a battle.
Does he win Thunder Valley?
I don't know.
Okay. That's great analysis.
Thank you. Weech?
It's going to be interesting because I think, you know, under normal circumstances, I think it's like, look, it's a long season, 24 points. I can make that up if I just get rolling. If I'm hurt, I can just take what I get in Colorado. But I don't think that's going to be his approach. I think he's going to want to 1-1 it to immediately silence any of this. And I honestly think that's risky. I think the part of the reason he had problems in Supercross early in the year was he had the bad mud race. And then I think he was pissed off and he wanted to murder everybody. And that's not what Jet really does best. He had too many, like, I think that Triple Crown in Anaheim too, he was trying to show everybody and he was all over the place. So I think it's definitely possible,
mm-hmm.
but I think his best approach would be like, give me a week or so and I'll start reeling off wins. The 24 points, if you have a win streak, is meaningless.
Yeah.
No, it's not. And it's, as always, is it a guarantee that someone else goes 2-2? You know me, of course not. So I think he just needs to work his way back up, but I have a feeling he's going to want to come out to just end all this talk immediately, and I don't know if that's the safest play.
I think Sexton leads more laps and wins some more motos, et cetera, et cetera. But Jet wins most of the stuff. But I think this is a turning point.
I think it's a turning point
for Chase and KTM. Maybe not though. Maybe this will just be the beatdowns will continue in Lakewood. But yeah. I don't think so.
I like your take. I still think Jet's the guy to beat. Jet wins most of the time, but I think this awakens Chase a little bit, and he's more willing to get into the fight.
Yeah, I agree. And I think he's going to trust his bike and be like, okay, I can send this thing.
Like, if he's in second, I don't think it's not a foregone conclusion anymore that it's just,
yeah.
yep, we're just going to sit here 2 seconds and that's all that's going to happen. Right. You know? So we'll see.
Thank you to the folks at Renthal, of course, Fly Racing, flyracing.com. And also thanks to folks at Maxxis Tires, whether it's mountain bike tires, it's dirt bike tires, light truck tires, trailer tires, Maxxis.com. Freddie Norn, much to Weege's chagrin, using Maxxis tires out there. Maxxis.com, developed by Jeremy McGrath, speaking of Millville 96. And please check out Maxxis Renthal as well. Motorsport.com, the number one online ordering place in the world, including Amazon. Everything is motorsport.com. Email, or I should say, order your Renthal, order your Maxxis from there. Great prices, dedicated team of gearheads there to help you out. Thank you to the folks at motorsport.com for all that they do, and free shipping over $79, OEM and aftermarket parts, and Onyx Maps as well, Weege.
Yeah, Onyx Maps will give you 20% off. Just type in the code RACERX, all one word, all lowercase. You can find trails for hiking, mountain biking, single track for dirt bikes, stuff for side-by-sides or Jeeps. Very specific, and trail maps and information, and people can leave reviews, and they're doing a lot of updates and a lot of new stuff coming. So give it a little test ride. Go over to onxmaps.com or Onyx Offroad. Download the app and you can try it for a few days for free. And then if you like it, pay for it, but get the discount using the code RACERX.
I should clarify, Weege loves Freddie Norn. I'm giving you shit. So
Steve, one of Steve's favorite moves is before the show is over saying you forgot somebody. And then never let me forget.
Sir, your record of forgetting Chase Sexton and Cooper Webb in videos, and even Ivan Tedesco in race.
They're not forgotten. They were just in the second show.
Okay. All right.
They're not forgotten.
Okay. More impressive ride, Weech. Hayden's first moto or Tom's second moto? I mean, they were both really good. I'll go Hayden's first moto. He was like 10th.
Yeah, I'll that I don't want to take anything away from Vial. He rode Awesome Moto 2 better than probably people think, than they can see. But yes, I'll take Hayden's Moto 1 as the most.
Does Vial catch Hayden if Hayden doesn't helicopter? Probably. Close.
I think we have to explain that to people. He was closing a lot.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Well,
because the bed bugs are out there.
Hayden didn't want to hear it from me at all. He didn't want that. He didn't want that at all.
Yeah.
And I think he was like mad that I brought it up.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. He wasn't pumped.
But Tom was catching him.
He was not pumped. Okay. On that right. at all. Right. But I don't know what to do. Like,
right.
It was the story.
Yeah.
Like he had made up a second a lap. Hayden did match it at one point.
Yeah.
But he had closed down the gap. And all I was trying to ask was like, did you have to pick up the pace because Tom was closing, mm-hmm. and then that maybe forced a mistake? He didn't like that at all. Yeah, it is what it is. Whatever. I don't know. I wasn't trying to say that Tom was going to beat you. I was just
it's wrestling.
Yeah, I understand his side. He's like, get out of here. I was going to win. Okay. Well, I have to look at it objectively, right?
Wow, they were both great rides. Hayden's first moto was like, dude,
amazing.
Yeah. That's not as impressive to me as Washougal last year, but it's not far off.
Yeah.
You know, he was on it, man.
I know you haven't watched the race back, but I try to show Hayden the replay of his crash. He's like,
I saw that.
Having it. Right. Yeah.
He's still mad at JT for constantly asking the second question. He does not want that.
He wants
to end it on a high note.
Drop the danger zone and walk off.
And walk away.
Well, I do what I'm told by my bosses, not him.
So. I talked to somebody again about his interviews close to the situation this week over at Star, and they're like, yeah, he's just making all that up. He doesn't even – he's just a really nice kid. That's all for the TV. And I'm like, okay, I'm so confused. Kenny Watson was in last Monday saying that's who he is.
He's been really nice to me off camera.
Right.
But, he looks thoroughly annoyed with me on camera.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to do. I'm certainly – not trying to make him look bad. The kid's a freaking amazing. I'm so impressed by his fitness and all the things he's doing.
Yeah, we talked about this last week. He comes from means. He's never wanted for anything.
Yeah.
And he's gritty.
He's thoroughly gritty. Impressed by him. So hopefully he doesn't think I'm trying to make him look bad or something.
He doesn't give anybody much in interviews. He's not a real like thinker of in-depth of his race. Like when I watch his post-race stuff,
yeah,
I'm not ever like,
well, no, like even,
oh, that's interesting.
But this interview yesterday, he was like, I think he was like, no, what are you stupid? Like, no.
Yeah.
Like, no. Yeah. And I'm like, well, no, I don't know, man. He was closing. Like, I'm just looking at the data, right? Yeah. Like, what are we supposed to ask?
I think
here?
Both guys should get their flowers for those two motos. Those were great.
Yeah. Even Hayden's second moto was great. Like, he crashed, leading the whole freaking race.
Yeah.
You know, still wins the overall.
That could have been dangerous.
Even recovered and still got second. Pulling away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he could have very easily fallen apart there.
Yeah. And honestly, I was underwhelmed with Tom's first moto again, like kind of like got dropped a little bit and, you know, but then, railed for that second moto win. Yeah. And
Hayden, he was pissed off and then he made a shock change based on some of the stuff they learned at this Secret Hills track.
Okay.
And then it was great.
Keep going back to the Secret Hills track. Yeah.
I know. But Steve, I know how much you love to hear it was set up.
Yeah.
But he claimed it was set up.
Well, I mean, in some cases it is. No, the whole point of my is just it was a setup. Every single guy says setup for any defeat. Nobody gets tired. No. Nobody gets tired, and it's always setup. That's it.
Nobody gets beat.
Yeah. You know, like, that's the point. Like, sometimes it is setup, for sure. I've seen that as a mechanic, but fuck me, for 15 years it's been setup every single set, every single loss. So, but no.
Can I just say for the bed bugs here who are all over the place, I defer to James Stewart, one of the best riders ever. He was noting that Tom was closing and thinking maybe that was pushing Deegan a bit. And Vial, I think, was faster, if I'm looking at this right here. I think he was faster on like lap 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. He was going faster than Deegan. So I've had some bed bugs say, because you don't see them in the same shot necessarily on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, you guys are ridiculous. He was all alone by himself out front cruising. And I'm like, nope. But there were 5 consecutive laps.
That's not true. Deegan can see VL.
Yeah.
Like, Deegan can see VL close.
Especially
like,
at Hangtown. Especially at Hangtown.
That's the way racing is, right? Like, I'm reading the pit boards. They're telling him Tom is coming. Like, I understand.
We're not making this up.
No.
This is really things that happen during a race.
I understand if Deegan's your hero, you don't want to hear any of that. I get it. But objectively, that's what was happening in the race is Deegan could see VL coming. Cool. Now, whether that was the end-all, be-all reason he crashed, that's not for me to say.
Where he crashed and what he did, that was an He wasn't sending it on that section. It wasn't. He wasn't like
He's
I think
pushing there.
Yeah, but I didn't like that. Was it was a sketchy section, and I don't think it was a Vial thing. I think he just was made a mistake.
I mean, you make
like,
a mistake,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Is your likelihood of making a mistake lower if you're not like pushing?
Sure, sure.
And it might not have been. Right, exactly, JT. It might have had nothing to do with it, but it's worth having the conversation about because the numbers don't lie. He was catching him at that time.
I'm going to have my guy Deegs back here. I don't think crash was from pushing from Vial. When you watched, when I looked at his crash and his speed at other times in that same section, it looked kind of the same. Just he got sideways.
Yeah, but there's no arguing the fact that if you have a huge lead and you're not taking any risk, your chances of crashing are much lower.
Yeah.
They simply are.
Great race for both those guys. And, yeah, Deegs is now 3 for 4 to start the year.
Yep.
So that's the main thing.
He is the alpha in this class right now. Vial was great in the second moto.
Yeah.
But if you're like, who's the guy right now?
Yep.
It's Deegan right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm surprised that – so we've only done 4 motos. There's a lot more to go. But we have 3 guys.
Yeah.
We have our 3. And I don't know – and I don't know if anybody's getting in these 3.
Is there anything to Sexton and Vial training together and, like, they were both incredibly strong on, like, a pretty hard day?
No.
No?
Because Vial's a 2-time world champion.
No, I'm saying I think, like, we talked about it before the race, going in on multiple shows, how fit Sexton is, right? Like, he's freaking fit.
Yeah.
There's no way to me that Vial, some of that hasn't rubbed off on Vial.
It's honestly like looking in the mirror when I see him with his shirt off.
No, but, like, fitness doesn't have to be measured with your shirt off.
Yeah.
Ricky wasn't Atlas. You know what I mean?
Right.
But find a fitter guy on the dirt bike than him. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I look at Vial's day. It was hot. It was rough. He was really strong at the end. And look at the guy he trains with was also really strong at the end.
I go back to the Alden Baker thing. It's not a good look for Alden, who's a champion trainer. And the 2 top guys are on their own. They're riding there, but they're doing the fitness part on their own. So
I asked Vial and Sexton about that. I'm like, you also were like the 2 freshest guys. I don't think Deegan was tired. Okay, taking Deegan out.
Here we go.
Yeah, sorry.
Deegan was not tired.
Let's just put it this way. Vial and Sexton looked like they were in really good shape. And I was like, and this is a difficult second moto for a lot of guys. And they're like, that's Peter Park. That's our trainer. And then Sexton made sure to mention, and he's like, and Levi's with us too. I know Deegan or whatever says that he fades. He doesn't. He's strong. He's as fit as us. We got the best trainer in the business. So there's that too.
Yeah, Levi didn't fade last week, so whatever Deeg said, you know, yeah, doesn't matter. Anyways, going to Levi. So Hayden 1-2, Tom 4-1, Levi 3-3, and honestly, he was happy after the race. He said he's not good at Hangtown; it's not his place. Even though he's done a bunch of Loretta's races there, Loretta Regionals and whatever. He said he's never.
But he
done
said they were slower. It wasn't as fast.
Yeah, yeah. So he said he was happy with his race 3-3, like. Felt it was good.
Yep.
So.
And I think I wish I had made more of a point of this. I think I did mention it at some point. This is okay for Kitchen because when you look at last year, it was so boom bust. Bad starts, good moto, horrific moto, all over the place. One weekend we're talking about he can win races. The next weekend you don't even mention his name. You're wondering if he even showed up. This is not that. This is he's in the fight, right? Is he going to be good enough to win the title? I don't know. We'll see. A lot of racing left, but he is absolutely one of the top 3 best guys in this class, and he's getting good starts, and he's showing pace, and he's showing fitness. So it is a huge, monumental step forward from a year ago, no matter how you want to look at it.
And he's going into a track that he did win last year
absolutely
on, when
is.
He wasn't,
yep.
you know.
So
when
that's
he
what I'm saying.
Great,
it's,
yeah.
Nothing's decided
no,
yet, no. but he's been so much better through 4 motos than he was last year.
Qualified 13th only too, so you know, like he might have been like, oh no, like Hangtown strikes again. But he got good starts.
Starts
and,
are
yeah.
critical.
Hymus led 14 laps of Moto 1. Chance Hymus, 14 laps.
That was awesome. He was so bummed after the
was he
after the race?
Yeah,
after the second moto.
Yeah, yeah.
First moto he was happy.
Yep.
Second, like, and only because he tied for the podium and didn't get it, he was really bummed. Like he pulled in not because he didn't know, and then I was kind of watching because I knew he didn't get it. And, like, you could just see it.
Yeah.
Like, his face just, like... I think, honestly, I take it back. It wasn't... It was anger.
Yeah.
It was not disappointment. It was anger.
Well,
because I think he just wants that validation. Like, he wants that podium. I think he knows he's so close.
He's going to get it. So I talked to somebody like close to him, and they said
Lars.
Nope, it was not Lars. Okay. I swear to God, I would just say it was Lars.
We know.
No, I talked to somebody non-Honda close to him, and obviously I don't know how far back this goes because Shimoda has been hurt with the ankle after Salt Lake whenever they did the outdoor thing. But they told me that Hymus has been faster than Joe every single outdoor test or session they've had. Again, but I don't know if it was like only counting after Salt Lake, but they did some outdoors before that. So this, I didn't clarify that. But just for example, like not to shit on Joe, this is more like praising Hymus. Mm-hmm. He's been faster than Joe every time. And to start the year, he's been better than Joe as well. Obviously, Joe's coming off the ankle. But, yeah, most improved, Chance Hymus.
No, and yeah. I have tried to relay this message. You hear a lot. Steve, you guys and you and Weege talk to people more than I do. You go chase scoops and whatever. But you hear all sorts of things like, this guy's way better. Yeah. We figured this out. Yeah. We turned a corner. You're just like, yeah. Well, tell me on Saturday.
Right.
Show me on Saturday. But this seems like there's something to it, right? Like they figured something out that he was desperately missing in his diet. They got his blood work done and it's showing up, right? Mm-hmm. So it's very easy to kind of poo-poo that stuff and be like, I've heard this all before, but like it's a huge, huge difference in his riding.
Yeah. You've heard a lot of that and then nothing changes. Yep. Right. But, good job for Chance Hymus. And I talked to Lars.
Oh, here we go.
Lars said that he was bummed also, but then Lars is like, look, dude, you're one of the guys.
Yeah.
Like, you're one of the guys.
Take the positives from it, which is a James Stewart thing. And James is always like, you're having a bad day if you're talking about taking the positives. But even on a good day, I think you do, right? Don't let the messaging be, I missed the podium. Let it be like, dude, we're on our way.
Meanwhile,
like we're on our way.
Stu's the guy that never talked to the media if he got second. Like
I think Stu.
No, but just.
No, I know.
I was in the Stu days.
It's a whole different subject.
Yes, I was there, man. You didn't exactly like always just put on the most positive light.
Weege, has there ever been a bigger transformation in a person from Stu then to Stu now? Maybe Ricky. Maybe Ricky. Yeah.
Both of them.
I just know.
Yeah, I
Weege spends
think
all
Ricky
day with Stu.
More.
Every day. Yeah. You know, every weekend he spends all day.
Yes.
2 days maybe.
Here's the thing about Stu, though. I think we always felt that inside that Stu was this outgoing guy, but then other things would get in the way. And it was just like, if he could just be himself, this might be what we get all the time. And now it's like, that's just what we're getting. Ricky is like, I'm telling you, he's like the most humble guy on earth. It doesn't make any
Ricky's
sense.
Too humble. Ricky's too humble, for sure.
Probably. He probably is. It's unbelievable how he's checked it all at the door. That was 2007, and I am out.
I had some great conversations with Stu, prime Stu, when he was teammates with Red Dog, which, by the way, he gave Dirty Dog a shout-out when Timmy took him out at Hangtown. Love that. And I had some great text messages with Stu, but, like, publicly, he was not the best guy when he didn't do anything other than win, you know? Anyways. No,
but he had this in him the whole time. I think that's what always frustrated us.
Yeah.
That it wasn't like he was a dud personality. He just didn't always show it.
Yeah. Joe Shimoda, fifth. They did suspension testing, tried to make him happier. Maybe not quite there yet, but fifth for Joe. Pierce Brown, this class is all over the place. Like, first moto, I'm like, look at Pierce Brown. Like, he's just in the mix. He's moving forward. And then second moto, like, I don't know what happens. Bad start or whatever. He gets 10th. Like, nothing against Pierce Brown, but, like, 5'10 and 6'11. Those are the scores we're going to get from these dudes.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I didn't really even see Pierce Brown too much. Not a bad day. I just didn't really notice him.
Yeah, the fifth in Moto 1 was good. He moved forward. Ty Masterpool did admit he got tired. He popped out a rib. His rib popped out, which I don't really know what's that all about, but I know people have done it. There's cartilage, right? And the rib moves in the cartilage.
That doesn't sound
It doesn't
fun.
Sound good. But then Ty said the second Moto caught up to him. So, did you guys hear about this? So last week with the drama with Hayden cutting the track?
Yep.
There's a team manager's text, Mitch Payton, was telling me
about this.
You'd heard about this?
Yes.
And
confirmed that it's definitely happened.
Yeah, so I asked Mitch about it.
This definitely happened.
Mitch says everyone's on there, and you put up anything you want to concern with, whether it's flagging or track cutting or hot dog prices or whatever. I don't know. Whatever these guys talk about. And Mitch
put hot dog prices.
Mitch put the video of Hayden being like, are we going to look at this, basically? And he got a harshly worded response back from Bobby Reagan, who made his team manager type it out because Bobby's not on the text. And so much so that Mike Pelletier had to go talk to Bobby Reagan and be like, This is not what we do. We don't treat people like this. We don't talk to people like this, especially Mitch Payton, which I find ironic because Starr's the first one to complain about anything over the years. Correct me if I'm wrong, right? Everybody, right? Like from fuel to stealing gates to whatever.
Lawrence Brothers running number one plates.
Yes, Lawrence Brothers running number one plates at press or practice days.
Can we send you on assignment to talk to John Cuso about this next weekend?
No, you cannot.
Okay.
But anyway,
what's missing here, just give it the context. This is Bobby being pissed that
Mitch
Cowie
is bringing this
or
up.
Mitch, that they were looking into the Deegan off-track situation.
Yeah,
which is like, and again, there was no protest filed. Cowie did not protest Starr.
There is a strong case of irony here.
Yes, that's why I'm bringing this up. Peyton told me about it.
Yep.
And strong irony. Yeah.
I don't want to be in this fight. At all.
Okay,
but there's irony here.
Yeah. Hey, Starr guys, you're the first ones to complain about guys. So maybe when your rider goes off track and another team is pointing it out, maybe just let the AMA figure it out.
Right.
So.
Everybody knows. Your point is everybody in the pits knows if you step out of line and you have a rule infraction, you're probably going to hear about it from Starr.
Yeah.
That's just what it is.
Yeah. And again, like I think – I don't know if the – I don't like – this is me, Steve Mathis. I don't think you talk to Mitch Payton the way Bobby Reagan did. From what Mitch told me.
Yeah, if that's true, like, you don't talk to anybody that way.
No, you don't. Yeah. And especially not a guy like Mitch Payton,
right?
Who's as fierce as they come.
Which some of it's hearsay. We don't know. Yeah. I didn't see the text.
I did not see it either. Right. But
so if it's true, yeah, it's probably not.
I don't think Mitch is.
Probably not great.
Yeah. All right. Jalik Swole, 7th. He said he rode like shit. There's nothing to talk about on social.
Jordan Smith said that?
No, Jalik Swole.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. After a really good one, I didn't see much. And honestly, it just wasn't a great day for Triumph all around.
No. Back to Masterpool, I asked Mitch about hiring him, and he said he talked to Zach Osborne. And I'm like, okay. And then he said Masterpool is the next best guy to hire. So, I mean, he did a pretty good week, Masterpool.
Oh, I was getting excited in that second moto.
He thought he had something for Deeks.
I thought we were back in the title fight. I was getting excited. I mean, that's what he's capable of, though. That's my whole point is his ceiling is...
JT doesn't want to hear it.
Very high, and he's never gotten a really good opportunity because the Supercross thing isn't there, and then the magical combination of he manages to get on one of the good teams, but just for motocross. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is the combination that has been needed all along.
You thought, like, we have a championship contention here is where I went, like, come on, man. Come on.
He went after Deeks, dude.
Come on.
Like, he went after Deeks.
For sure he did, for a lap. Right, like I'm not saying he can't go really fast, but he had ridden the bike one day before Fox Raceway. Like you can't immediately thrust him into the title contention when he's literally never been in a title contention in his entire life for any championship at the pro level ever.
Yeah, never had this opportunity. Long season.
Right, yeah, he's never been on a factory team. Sure, got it.
Well,
okay,
didn't ride a lot there.
Okay,
all right,
a couple races here.
He can go really fast, though. I will give you that.
Weege is the president of the Thai Master Pool Fan Club, without a doubt.
Hey, I used to pick him all the time on Fantasy when he was first on Starr. Yeah. He would qualify fastest. That year at Redbud, do you remember how freaking fast he was going?
I interviewed Jake this week on a podcast. He was great. Jake was a really good interview.
Ty's a great rider. And I'm just slow down on title fight.
Ty's interview skills have been better, Weege, lately, too.
Yes, but Jake is – it's unbelievable that they can be brothers.
Oh, really? I've never talked to Jake in my life.
The Jake personality, we used to call him the mayor in the amateur.
Oh, really? Like, okay.
Look, is he not one of the most well-spoken guys you've talked to, Steve?
He was great, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, yeah, he's. It sounds like Pastrana. It's kind of like that.
Also, too, when it comes to the privateer LCQ race I did at Salt Lake, there's one rider that hasn't cashed the check. I'll let you know. I'll get you guess who that is. I don't know if they,
right.
I don't know what's going on, but there's one check outstanding still.
Who is a better interview? What is his name? Rode for Phoenix Honda.
Caden Braswell.
Jake Masterpool.
Is Caden Braswell alive?
I don't know. I thought he was going to ride 450 motocross. I thought he was putting something together for that. I don't know what's going on.
All right. Casey Cochran, qualified quickest.
Unreal.
Never been to Hangtown
before.
Never
been there before.
And he was quickest, and Savachi knocked him off. And he went out and got it again.
Yep. Like he literally we're waiting up there for them to come, for Weege and Stu to come to us. And he's like, where did that come from? Like he was as shocked as anybody.
Yeah. And Casey's like, well, I was stoked to do it again because it wasn't just one hero lap.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm like, Casey. But I said last week, he rode really well at Paula.
Yeah.
He was last to 14th before halfway in Moto One.
Yep. Well, I was very.
So maybe there's something here.
I was very unsure. And I was asking questions in my own mind about, like, Rockstar Husky moving him up, like, going full factory. Like, how is this going to go? Is this going to work? I see now why, like, that's pretty apparent that there's something there, right? We don't know where this goes. He's got a, you know, long road ahead of him to figure it out. But I understand if, like, he can ride like that during the week, that's the type of promise that will get you a factory ride. Like, that's what's going to do it for you. So I don't think that's the first time he's ever gone fast. That's why he gets – people ask, because I've heard it, not just me, why is he on that team? Like, he's you know, in Supercross, not even close, right? Doing stuff like on that, if he can go to, like, Glen Helen, he goes to Paul on a Tuesday, and he's, like, turning the fastest laps, that's how you get a ride like that.
So Kellen was telling me that he didn't do the stopwatch national race at Glen Helen because he said he wasn't ready. Okay. I'm like, okay. But anyway.
Got a lot better in 2 weeks.
Yeah, he did. He did. He went 12-12 for 10th. If Phil went 12-12, he would have got 14th. But Casey was stoked, Weege. He was happy. Yeah.
Yeah, and I saw him in the airport real quick because every single person was on the same red eye flight last night. And yeah, that was cool. And then as far as the motos go, he's like, man, I've never seen anything like that. Like these battles. And it's why we're saying like the Pierce Brown guys are going like 6 and then 11 in the next moto.
Yeah.
Like there's like 4 or 5 guys, maybe Hymus is the cutoff, maybe 4th is the cutoff, and then there's like 12 completely equally fast and, dudes just in dogfights, and that's what Casey is like. I've never experienced anything like that.
Yeah, where you start is where your dogfight begins, right? Thrasher 11th. I didn't notice Thrasher at all. Daxton Bennick, didn't notice
him. I saw Thrasher on the ground once. Bennick has had a rough start to the season.
Jordan Smith and Joey were 5th and 6th in Moto 1, and both their bikes broke.
Yeah, electrical for Joey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's what they said.
That's what they told me.
Right.
I mean.
It does. Triumph has done so well, and here, you know, this is their first sort of oops.
Yep.
Bummer for Joey, for sure.
It is bummer.
Joey was the most weirdest moment of the day was when I was talking to Joey under the tent before Moto 1. A guy rides up in the pits on a KX450.
Okay.
I don't know why he's in the pits. He's
a racer?
He's a fan.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, he's dressed in shorts and a t-shirt.
Is he a dirt digger?
Nope. Maybe.
Okay.
He's in the pits with a KX450.
All right. Was it Axel Hodges?
And he rolls up and he goes, Joey, this is a Rick Ware bike I bought. Joey's like, okay. He's like, what kind of clutch is in this? And Joey's like, I don't know, man. And he's like, hey, my kid, he doesn't like the suspension, like, it's A-Kit stuff, but, like, did you like it? Joey's Homer in the bushes.
Is this right before the moto? Or when
yeah,
is this?
Pretty soon. The horn went. The horn is gone.
Yeah.
The guy is grilling Joey on his Rick Ware KX450 that he bought, and Joey is trying to walk away slowly and trying to go, like, I don't know, man. I don't know. I thought the suspension was good. Like, it could be for Supercross.
Right.
It could be Rick Ware. This guy's kid doesn't like it.
Yeah.
And I guess Joey's supposed to be like, hey, man, take the rebound shim, the 4th one down, go smaller on that. I don't know what this guy wants from Joey. And Joey is just like, I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
The guy bought the bike from Rick Ware.
Hey, and this is not the same at all, but it reminds me, 2006, 5 or 6, at Thunder Valley. It was 6. Right before the first 450 moto?
The first year? No.
Oh, Thunder Valley 05 was. Yeah. I'm dressed. I have my helmet on. I'm literally like about to go to the line for the first moto.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to call them out because this is not their fault. But a dealership that was involved with Subway Cocoa Honda team, the team owner, Chuck, didn't pay for these bikes yet. They were coming to get them. So as I'm going to get on my bike to go to the line, they're coming to take their motorcycles away. And I have to have a conversation with these guys about, please just let me race.
Yeah.
Like,
you can figure this out after the moto.
This is my only job. This is my life. Just please let me race. I'll literally ride it into the back of your truck if it's your motorcycle after the race. But at least, like, let me race this freaking race. I have my helmet on. And thankfully, they were cool enough to do that. And I think that all got sorted
What happened? I was going to say, what happened?
Yeah. As usual, comes in at the 11th hour. Oh, I'll get you a check. Here's a check, whatever. Like, how did we get here? How did we get to this moment where they're coming to take my motorcycle away in staging? How?
I don't know,
to get here?
We only know one place where we will eventually see these motorcycles for sure.
Yep. That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
Yeah, Joey.
I hope
Joey was not having it with this guy, and this guy had a lot of
questions.
Joey's
bike breaks, and Joey's riding well in the first moto. He's kind of tagging with Deegan a little bit. Yeah. It's probably a good like test to see, like, okay, where am I at?
Yeah.
Then the bike breaks. He's probably furious. I only hope when he was walking up the hill that again the fan just pulls up. Hey, Joey.
If you got a minute,
what kind of mapping? What do you recommend?
Since you're not going to finish this moto, come over.
Hey, man, how do you start this thing? Is there a trick to starting it?
I was going to grab you after the moto, but this is an even better time.
It was – I was like going, what is happening here? And Joey was just taking steps back from the guy and being like, I don't know. It was fine for me, and I don't know about the clutch. And it was great.
You ever have like people like this where they can't really read a room? Like they don't know the right moment? So you're just like – not right now, guy. Like, not right now. Yeah, it's funny.
Great.
Like, we shouldn't be burying this dude, but that's a great story.
I hope he's not listening.
Maybe come by after the race.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. What was he doing in the pits on a bike?
I don't know.
That was my biggest question. Why is this fan on a KX450 riding through the pits?
Maybe just charge the gate.
Dude, like I'm pretty sure you can't bring a bike in. Like, I don't think you could
maybe
do that.
He saw a window, charged the gate, and he had to ask these questions because he was about to get escorted out.
That part was the no helmet. Just shorts and a t-shirt riding around. So sometimes our sport
that's
great. Yeah, our
that
sport
is
awesome.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's great.
All right, Ryder D, rough start. I don't know. I like Ryder D. I asked Will, like, what is going on? So they're working on it. Ryder's from NorCal, or ish.
Bakersfield?
Yeah, but, like, he would have ridden
100%.
Hard pack and Hangtown.
Yeah,
and
I thought this would be a good one for him. I did.
Romano was better in moto.
It was better.
It was better.
First moto.
Yeah, but he went backwards a little bit. Schwartz, Finnis, Shock. Shock rode better. His bike, he had a bike problem, second moto.
Or Schwartz's results. I just have season statistics you gave me here.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Oh.
What were his results?
15, 16.
Okay. I thought Schwartz might have a good day because he's pretty fit. But
yeah. Jet Reynolds went backwards in one moto, I know for sure. But he was up there a little bit. Ryder McNabb. Manitoba champion, 4 points, 1921 on the day.
Is that where are we at on that?
Yeah,
is
we're good.
Is that good?
Yep.
Is that good?
Yep.
Okay.
It's all good.
All right.
Hardy, did you guys see Hardy's whip on press
video?
Yeah.
Incredible.
On video?
Incredible.
I saw it in person. It was unbelievable.
Dude,
there's nothing.
Better than Deegan threw an unbelievable whip, but I think Hardy had everybody covered.
There's nothing that you could show me that Hardy does that I'm going to be like shocked.
Yep.
Good or bad.
Yep.
Good or bad.
Yep. Hey, here's Hardy getting upside down and backwards on the tabletop, and here's Hardy sending it into the fence.
Yep.
Yep. Either one. You're like, okay.
Yep. There's Hardy.
Oh, yeah. Apparently that happened. We were talking about the whip, and then
on the
I think it was
start,
the great
right?
Tim Ferry and his son Evan that were like, oh, no. And then they had another story. One of those downhills, either the jet downhill or the one before it.
Okay. What happened?
Yeah.
What happened?
I guess bounced off the track and went into the fence.
I was joking.
That's what he does.
He really did.
No, that really happened.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Where are we at on Evan Ferry?
Well, he's got some sort of sickness going on, and they pulled off to the Moto One. Yeah.
Okay.
Not good.
I haven't talked to him. I didn't even see Red Dog.
That's sad. I went over.
I want to. Like, I have things going on Saturday. Like, it's not like I'm avoiding him.
I went over and talked to the big 1-5, third overall Hangtown 1 year, him and I.
Okay, great.
I talked to him as well because Perfect Season's getting brought up a lot.
He is. Yeah.
And,
Stu brings up Dirty Dog a lot.
Yeah. So we had some good Dirty Dog conversations. And then I said, hey, look, bottom line is you got podium bonuses every time you got your Stu, right? And he's like, oh, yeah, I was making 50 grand a weekend. I'm like,
yeah,
could be worse.
Yeah. This was, I think Hangtown was the inception of Dirty Dog.
It was.
Pretty sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Stu Salt. It's confirmed. Yes.
Yeah. Well, you mess with the bull, you get the horns.
He was pretty dirty.
Now,
I love Red Dog.
Stu had no front brake lever, I think.
Oh, I don't know
when,
about that.
When Red Dog took him out, Stu had no front brake.
Oh, really?
Because he had crashed.
I don't think he even took him out. He just hit him.
Yeah, but with that moto, yeah.
Oh,
when Red Dog hit him, he had no front brake, I guess. Or
Timmy,
maybe,
I asked
or maybe,
to.
Maybe Timmy had no front brake? I don't know.
Timmy's done like more for me in racing than probably any, like top three of anybody alive, but he was dirty. Like, let's be real. He was pretty aggressively dirty. And Shorty, too. Shorty was the same way.
I'm going to give you guys one guess. Stu said he loves Red Dog. He does. And most of the teammates he had, he was fine with. But the only one that there was never, ever one issue with ever. Can anyone guess who would be the one guy?
Michael Byrne.
Nope. Oh, come on.
Oh, I thought you meant never.
Chiz.
Oh, I thought you meant never had an issue with.
Never had any problems at all. Okay. The only teammate with a completely perfect record was
Chiz. Yeah.
Of course. He's Chiz. Like, the only one that was good is Chiz. I'm like, of course it was Chiz.
Chiz did go after Chad for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, bonus points. But it's just Chiz. It's Chiz, yeah. Man. How could you have a problem with Chiz?
Can we do a – we should do a thing on Racer X. We each Chiz's teammates over the – like, just try to do some sort of Venn diagram of Chiz's –
just post the results.
Teammates.
Just post the results.
Yeah, just there everything. Yeah. Yeah. All right. That's Hangtown. Good race. Really great. From Chase's race to Hayden's moto to Vial's moto.
This one delivered, man. This race delivered.
To Hayden's crash to Jet's stuff. All of it. Like, it was so many subplots going on. It was great.
Yeah, one of the best nationals in a long, long time. It was awesome.
We do have a little bit of a problem in the media going forward, I think. Our friend Lewis from England, he says he got heat stroke at Paula.
that was
oh my God.
I did not know that Lewis had so many hot takes and also just issues going on. I did not know this, but I do now.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, so we were like, dude, if you had problems at Paula, you better start hydrating now for every race the rest of the summer.
He said Paula was an extremely warm day in Britain.
Oh, no.
So, yeah.
You might want to skip Bud's Creek. Just don't go there.
So then some of his takes, he
stay at the hotel.
Some of his hot takes he was blaming on the heat stroke. And then he said he texted us afterwards and said he may have had heat stroke at Hangtown, because he said on videotape, we're at the MXGP of Hangtown. he said to a rider.
You know what he needs to get? He needs to get
so
one of those.
He's got a lot of problems.
He needs to get one of those IV carts.
Yeah.
And just roll that around with him.
Yeah, he said he's got possible heat stroke now also from Hangtown. So, a lot of problems.
There's so many. God, there were so many good stories. So our guy, Tom Jornet and LeBig, they hang out all the time because Tom actually speaks French.
Yeah.
And they're getting into this convo. They found some shade. It was second 250 moto. They
found shade.
They were just happy to be standing in the shade under a tree. And then they start talking and they're having a conversation. And then Deegan crashes right in front of them. And neither of them shot it.
Oh,
and they were so mad. They were so mad at themselves. They were so happy they found this shade. And then to start talking to each other in French, that they did not put their cameras toward the track. And they were so mad.
That's inexcusable. Come on, guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it Jornet or Jornet?
I go with Jornet because I think it's fun.
Yeah.
But you don't think that's it. If you want to bastardize American pronounce it, you can go with Jornet.
Okay.
Yeah. His parents are French. That's why I think it's
Jornet. Yeah. There's no way at some point it wasn't Jornet. Yeah. There's no way.
I agree. I hear Jornet, and I'm bending. I prefer Jornet. I think it's more fun.
Yeah, I think that's how it was. If you went back to wherever the origin of that family was, I promise you it was Jornet.
Yep.
Okay, got it.
All right, and we all await Phil's injury diagnosis. This could end it. Could be
Mookie
gone.
Would be happy. Mookie would be happy.
I love that. Good.
Yeah, and then the piling on of Phil began, and then eventually I just hear Big James laughing super hard.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, this all starts with making fun of Phil, and this is where it always goes. Just people having the time of their lives because they started making fun of Phil.
Yeah, it's great.
Do they usually fly American, Mookie and James?
I don't know what the deal, like, this nonstop to Charlotte, it was like every single person that lives on the East was on.
It must have been the only...
But then, Mookie's got to go Charlotte to Tampa, to Orlando. So I don't know how I figure that out. But
there used to be a Delta when Sacramento to Atlanta, because I've been on it multiple times. But maybe it wasn't available. I'm sure the listeners are riveted as to our airline choices.
Well, let's really drive this thing off the rails here. So everyone was mad because no one was getting upgraded, and I know these are very interesting topics and first world problems of the highest order. And then the assumption is, well, the Deegans are on this flight, and they probably bought 5 first-class tickets. It was not the case. Hayden was in first class. That was it. It was no other motocross people in first class. And then by chance, Brian Deegan sits next to me in a middle seat for this red eye flight. And I'm like, what are you doing? Yeah. He's like, I don't know, man. My wife booked this. I don't know. And, Ryan Deegan just sitting in a middle seat on a red eye. I don't know how it
happened. How is all the first class seats on a red eye from Sacramento to Charlotte taken by not motocross people who fly all the time?
Plessinger have been upgraded. I'm just like, the amount of these are people that travel for a living and no one got it.
Yeah.
Those are people buying first class. There's no shot.
Yeah.
No shot. I'm flying red eye middle.
Yeah.
None.
Yeah. No. I just
not
take the next flight.
Yeah, not happening.
I take the next flight.
Nope.
Yeah.
The general.
I did see Phil at the rental car place. I was sitting there waiting for the rental car bus, waiting on my flight, and then Phil just walks up and kicks me with his good leg and just keeps walking. And just keeps going. I go, I think I'm going to miss my flight. He goes, what time? I go, I board at 7:30. This was 7:10 at the rental car place.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes, you're fine. And he just keeps walking. So.
Wow.
All right, more riveting talk. All right.
Yes.
Oh, Savachi just replied to me. I'll deal with it all. Okay, thanks for listening,
you
everybody.
You got to get some settings for that KX450.
I'm going to ask him, what about this guy?
Did you talk to Rick Ware yet?
I'm going to say, what about this Rick Ware bike settings? Let's see if he replies.
Can you get the spec sheet?
He goes, what? I go, what about this Rick Ware bike settings? See what he says back. But I do want to thank Fly Racing, 25 years of Fly. And thank you to Renthal, Maxxis, Motorsport.com, Onyx Maps as well.
Isn't that supposed to be Osborne's like job? Shouldn't he be like cutting that off? I don't even know what's the term there.
I don't think you see that coming, though. I don't think you plan for that.
Cut that off at the pass?
Osborne replied with just dead.
Oh, Zacho knew about this? He was there?
I don't know if he was or not. Oh. Maybe Joey.
But he's supposed
him.
To jump in there.
Yeah, and be like, hey, he's got a motor to go.
Just start making settings up. Right. Like, yeah, Joey, go.
And maybe he's too busy, Zacho, paying me my $20 because I bet against Joey last week at Paula. Oh, yeah. Joey just said bro with an upside down face. So. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Appreciate it. And JT, thank you for coming in.
Yep.
And Joey goes, I don't understand people. It was great. So thanks everybody for listening. Appreciate it. We're on to Lakewood, and we appreciate you guys listening. Thanks, Weege.
See ya.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, Motorsport.com, and Kuba Links on RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners. Don't change the air.